Congressman Graves. Welcome back. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about you, Brian?
Doing very well this morning as well. So, foreign aid package passes on both sides, signed off on by the president. Your takeaways, your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I just remain somewhat frustrated by how this whole thing went down. Look, you got to keep in mind on the one hand, there's no question that the United States stands for freedom and democracy. We stand for human rights. We can't allow Vladimir Putin to come in and take over other sovereign democracies, to reassemble the USSR. We can't allow those things to happen. But at the same time, we have our own needs in the United States, including our own border. How do we talk to folks in Louisiana and say, yes, we're funding to protect the borders in Ukraine, in Israel, and in Taiwan, and ours is wide open? And even the FBI director has admitted that wide open border in the United States poses a very serious national security threat to us. So look, I certainly am incredibly sympathetic to us stepping in and helping out these other countries and continuing to protect human rights and democracy. But I just think that for us to ignore our own border crisis is just an incredibly, incredibly short-sighted or I think just flawed view on how to handle the challenges that our own country's facing.
Talk with Congressman Garrett Graves. This is DC Current, presented by the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. Congressman, is this necessarily an either-or thing, or what is what we're seeking here a taste of both?
Yeah, that's a great question, Brian, and I think it should be both. Let's be clear that in regard to the dollars that we're providing to any other country, there's got to be a clear plan of action. We can't just say, here's money. What is the money going to be used for? What interest are we trying to advance? That's really important. Accountability and transparency on the dollars is absolutely critical. But I think that there is, or there should have been, a really joint approach here. If the Biden administration is begging for these funds for these other countries, then I think part of that negotiation has got to be leveraging our own needs. And, yeah. You know, Brian, there's no shortage of problems that our country is facing right now, whether it is the energy crisis, the outrageous inflation that we're seeing, interest rates going through the roof, the border issues. We've got to focus on our own needs as well, and that has to be part of the negotiation. If the White House is so dead set, if it's such a priority for them to provide funds to other countries, and look, let me say it again. I believe we do need to step in and help our allies in Israel and some of these other initiatives, but if that is so important to the White House, then we've got to use that opportunity to force them to the table to work with us on solutions for these other items. We can't keep spending hundreds of billions of dollars on citizens of other countries, as we're seeing through the southern border crisis, and we're seeing through, in some cases, these foreign aid packages that don't have clear objectives or clear protections on the money.
Well, and what we're seeing with some of the foreign aid stuff is when it comes to what's going on back at home, look at what's going on at Columbia University. There are dividing lines being drawn back home where we're fighting amongst ourselves based off of fights that are happening halfway around the world.
Brian, you're exactly right. And the other thing is, you know, I threw out energy earlier. The other thing is that we've got to fix these flawed energy policies.
Oh, my.
I mean, effectively, we're funding both sides of the war in Iran because our energy policies is what is allowing Iran to profit $65 billion that they're then using to fund the terrorist groups to attack Israel. Our energy policies are allowing Russia to benefit perhaps in excess of $100 billion that they're then using to fund their war against Ukraine. And so we can't continue to effectively fund both sides of the war to cause major, major impacts in terms of higher costs on our own citizens. These conversations really needed to be part of this larger discussion. And I understand the urgency here, but all this means is that if we're providing funds right now and we're not fixing these fundamental problems, like how these countries are funding their wars, then it just means that we're going to be back and we're going to be cutting more checks in the future.
Yeah.
To continue funding these wars in other countries. And I just think it's a flawed approach.
We got Congressman Garrett Graves with us. This is DC Current presented by LABI. You can learn more about the state's Chamber of Commerce over at labi.org. All right, let's bring it back home, like to your district, the 6th Congressional District. Well, first and foremost, when it comes to the 6th Congressional District, what's it going to look like? We should be hearing from the courts either this week or next. What are your thoughts right now?
Look, I expect that the court will be acting soon. And, of course, this is the issue of the congressional maps in terms of what the districts look like. This has been challenged in federal court and expecting a decision soon. I think it's important a decision be made soon to help provide clarity to voters and understanding what the congressional districts look like. I'll go back and say that I think that what the legislature did back in January when they made these changes and effectively split the Capital Region up into 4 different congressional districts, connecting one district to Monroe, one district to Shreveport, connecting a district to New Orleans, and then a 4th district all the way around the North Shore, Plaquemines Parish, even into Metairie in New Orleans. All that does is dilute the Capital Region's, sort of power or representation in Congress. I think it will absolutely delay some of the critical projects we need, like a new bridge crossing the Mississippi River, helping to solve our traffic problems and things like that, because the Capital Region would ultimately be somewhat of an afterthought in some of these congressional districts. So we're looking forward to the court's decision and bringing a little bit of rational or a thought or common sense to the maps, to the congressional districts.
Speaking of the district, you're in town, huh?
We are out of session this week. Yesterday we spent time in Baton Rouge and down in the Bayou region and in Houma and Thibodaux area. Going to be back in New Orleans area today. We were in Baton Rouge and Denham Springs on Monday, and going to be Baton Rouge, I think, in Gonzales on Thursday. So, yeah, we're pounding the pavement while we're out of session and just trying to connect with folks at home.
And I'm sure the Facebook feed will be full of pictures from restaurants.
You know, we were driving yesterday down to Houma, and we had some of our staff that's from Louisiana but working out of the Washington office, and they were in town, and they saw the snow cone stand, and they were like, we got to stop. So we did a quick little stop yesterday there, but otherwise really just been doing a bunch of meetings with folks in their offices, and we're going to be doing a Grub with Garrett. We did a Facebook Live, so doing everything we can to engage with folks at home, hearing what's on people's minds. And it's amazing how much consensus you get on issues when you start engaging through social media and Grubs with Garrett and things like that. It really is incredible. The number of people that want us to finish the Comeat project, that want to fix this Social Security issue, which we had that hearing on Tuesday last week, the number of people that want us to focus on some of the transportation needs at home. I mean, it's amazing how much the insurance costs and wanting to hear about what we're working on there. It's amazing the consensus that occurred.
You mentioned the picture with the snowball, which I did see that. And I zoomed in on the picture. Congressman, I think we have something else in common here. I zoomed in on the picture. Is that nectar cream with condensed milk?
Wow. Yeah, it was.
Okay.
I gotta admit though. So I didn't order it. I need to fess up. I didn't order that one. That was, I think that was Ellen who ordered that one.
Okay.
From our Washington team. So I take credit for her ordering skills.
But, she made the right choice though. That's the right. That's my go-to. The nectar cream with condensed milk. It is why I'm that between that and Rocco. That's why I'm as fat as I am today. So
yeah,
it's a solid choice to be sure. We got about. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, just say good luck. Once we get back in session next week, one of the things we're going to be doing, hit the ground running, is trying to finish this big aviation bill with the Federal Aviation Administration is authorized every 5 years. We've got a really big negotiation that's been going on for a couple of months now on that legislation, trying to finish it up. There are a number of really important provisions in there for Louisiana, things that we've been working on with our airports, helping to improve service, helping to allow these airports to be on the cutting edge of new technology related to aviation, everything from Baton Rouge, New Orleans airports, to even airports like Houma, Livingston, and airports like that. We also were hopefully going to be able to get across the goal line a new tax bill helping to extend or create new tax cuts and credits, and just trying to help American families, Louisiana families, make ends meet. So we do have some pretty big things on the horizon. That really, we were in a situation where all these foreign aid packages were the things that were just taking all the oxygen out of the room. But we've got some pretty big packages we're working on for the next few months.
I forgot all about the FAA bill. The foreign aid has taken over the headlines so much that really felt like, just from a, you know, an outsider's perspective, kind of hit the back burner.
No, it really did, which I got to tell you, it kind of helped out negotiations a little bit, because it allowed us to really focus on some of the more controversial provisions we had been working on, the aviation package. And Brian, look, everybody you talk to has a story about a bad experience flying. And so, you know, one of the big titles of this bill that we're pushing and trying to get done is a title on the passenger experience, just trying to help improve that whole experience. And look, we've all seen it going through airports. I've experienced it myself. What are you trying to go through? And you got kids, you're holding on to bags and strollers, and the last thing in the world you need is more complication trying to get through the airport, getting on the plane, or having, you know, issues with your travel. And so that's one of the big components that we're focusing on, is trying to improve that overall passenger experience, using better technology, holding folks accountable, providing better transparency on schedules, told at the last minute about potential problems, and a whole bunch of things that I think are really going to improve that overall experience.
He is Congressman Garrett Graves, joins us every Wednesday. We always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Brian, thank you. Take care.